Welcome to Fusion, a show for Relay FM members where I talk to hosts from various shows about a single topic. My name is Stephen Hackett, and this month I'm joined by Jason Snell from Upgrade, Download, Liftoff, Free Agents. Did I get them all? Is that? I think I got it all.
Sure.
Yeah, seems like a good round number. As well as Dan Morin from Clockwise, and of course the two of them together are the Six Colors team. And I thought it'd be fun to talk this month about Apple's smallest and most adorable desktop, the Mac Mini. You guys remember the Mac Mini? Apple used to.
Oh man, I thought you were going to say the Cube.
Oh, well, yeah. You know, you could stack. I have both. You could stack several Mac Minis up before you get to the height of the Cube.
Ah, yeah. Well, that's as we often do here.
The Mac Mini remains a subject of our discussion.
Oh, no.
Mac Mini burn.
Yeah, so Mac Mini started life way back in 2005 as... Jason, you and I talk about NASA and how like, the space industry is full of acronyms that are terrible. This is Apple's worst, BYODKM, bring your own display, keyboard, and mouse. It's just the computer. The original machine, of course, in 2005 was a G4. It sold for the low price of $499. I believe at the time that was the cheapest or tied for the cheapest all-time Mac. It was aimed at people, Steve Jobs said, who wanted to switch to the Mac. So you don't have to spend $1,000 to get a MacBook. You could just unplug your PC stuff, and as long as it used USB and a standard video connector, you could just like plug in the Mac Mini, like set the Mac Mini on top of the dead carcass of your Dell PC, and off to the races. But one thing I think is really interesting, and one thing I want to talk to y'all about, because I think all three of us fall into this category, I think the mission of the Mac Mini spread pretty quickly. People started picking them up as low-cost family computers. Many of us use it as a home server. I still use a Mac Mini as a home server today, hooked up to a Drobo. And, of course, there are companies like our friends at Mac Stadium who are dedicated to using Mac Minis in data centers because they're small and don't require a lot of electricity. The live stream server at Relay is a Mac Mini in a Las Vegas data center. And this led to some price creep over the years. They had like weird server models with, like, took out the optical drive and put a second hard drive in. It looks super weird because they don't have an optical drive slot. They changed the body style. But today, the Mac Mini is still for sale, back at that $499 price point. But it was last updated almost 4 years ago in 2014. So it's been a kind of a sad couple years for Mac Mini fans. That upgrade, of course, took away upgradable RAM and got rid of the quad-core CPU model. The quad-cores still fetch a hefty price on eBay. It's really kind of surprising. But, you know, still using Haswell CPUs, slow hard drives, Thunderbolt 2. So that's kind of the state of the Mac Mini. It had a bunch of updates in the early years, and over time it just slowed down, especially after the Intel transition. So I guess my first question for the two of you is, does Apple still need a desktop computer aimed at switchers? What do you think, Dan?
I'm a little skeptical. I mean, desktops in general are a segment of the computer market that has probably been declining faster than most of the market, and I mean, at least of the overall PC market. And, you know, a huge part of that is that certainly in the consumer realm, I think desktops have become far, far less common because you no longer have to generally suffer through the same kind of performance hits you used to. It used to be the trade-off was you could have a slightly less powerful computer, but you could take it with you. And nowadays, that's not true anymore. You can take a computer that is almost as powerful as at least what most people need on the desktop, right? We're setting aside people who are doing professional-level work. You know, desktops don't make a lot of sense for a lot of consumers when you have laptops and other mobile devices to choose from. And in a business environment, I think, you know, Apple still has a lot of inroads to make there. Certainly PC desktops have a lot of presence, but I don't feel like the Mini was ever making a huge inroad as far as like, you know, workstations deployed on desks at companies. I think you were more likely to see PCs, and if you saw Macs, you know, you might see iMacs or you might see even laptops used in that capacity. So it's... The switching from PC markets is, I think, you know, it's not as big a market as it was 10 years ago. That was a really hot place to be at that time, and making that choice with the Mini strike me as really, you know, it was really smart. What you said, like, you just unplug all your stuff and you put it in there. I just don't think that market necessarily exists anymore in that same way. But the ancillary market is where a lot of the interest is. So I think that's the ground has shifted a bit there.
Yeah. What do you think about Jason, about the idea of a Switch or desktop?
You know, yeah, with 2/3 of the Macs being sold being laptops, I don't think that's where you're going to get switchers. I feel like you're going to, I don't know. We lived in a more desktop PC world when the Mac Mini was created than it is today, which is not to say that there aren't some people out there who have just kind of a generic PC and could replace it. But I think most people, if they had their druthers, would probably choose a laptop at this point, which is why I think what I wrote in Macworld a few weeks ago was a column that basically said that I think the Mac Mini's role today is as this escape valve almost, which is like, if you can't find a Mac to do a particular job, throw the Mac Mini at it. Like, it is relatively cheap and will kind of fit in anywhere in any workflow because it's got no monitor, it's small, and you can kind of like, you can use it as a server, you know, you can use it in you know, all sorts of weird edge cases. And it's almost like that's its real role today, is more just as you know all these tasks that require a Mac, and you're not going to use a laptop and you're not going to use a giant iMac. And so it's still present. And I talk to people all the time who use it for all sorts of things, but they're not, it's not like there's a market for it. It's like there are 1,000 markets for it, all of which are 10 people.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think back to my sort of first experience with the Mac Mini. It was probably late 2005. It was early on. And the job I had then in college, we picked one up as a file server. We just had a big USB external hard drive shared off of it. We didn't need Mac OS X server. You know, we didn't need an XServ. We just needed a computer to stick in the corner that had some files on it, right? That we could pull off the drive and put them back on the drive, and we were done. And so for me, that's always been my experience with the Mac Mini. Even today, like I said earlier, I've got mine hooked up to a Drobo over Thunderbolt, and it sits under our television. It has a USB super drive hooked up, so if we want to watch DVDs on occasion, we have that capability. And it's just sort of sitting on my network doing things that, you know, that a computer that always needs to be on can do, because my iMac Pro is not always on. I turn it off when I leave the office, and it just sits there quietly. It doesn't impact my energy bill. It has been running and running for years because it's just a, you know, small things. That's how I've always thought about it. It wasn't really until I started kind of digging into it for this show. I was like, oh yeah, that really wasn't the pitch. The pitch was, hey, you want to switch to the Mac? Here's a cheap way to do it. It's pretty interesting shift, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that it's interesting to me because for years people wanted, there was all the talk, Jason will remember well, the mythical X-Mac.
Oh, yes.
The idea of a mid-range modular Mac that was not an iMac, essentially, and not a Mac Pro. And the Mini, you know, it never really fit that bill entirely because it wasn't a device that was easy to open up and swap components around stuff, which is what people seemingly wanted at the time. But it is the closest that Apple ever got to sort of, I mean, almost an appliance computer. I mean, I agree with you, Stephen. That's where my Mac Mini has lived since day one, and I think I've been through, I think I'm on my third one.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it lives underneath the TV. Mine's just connected to a couple hard drives, which are just there for backup purposes, essentially. Like, one is a clone of the Mac Mini itself, and the other one works as like a Time Machine server for the other Macs in my house. And it just, like you said, just sits there. It does stuff. Mine runs a VPN, acts as sort of my canonical file storage for a bunch of stuff. And it's great for what it is. It's never been a primary desktop for me. And I've certainly, in the words of Han Solo, I've made a few special modifications myself over the years because of all the things that you just mentioned with sort of, you know, it's been years since an update. And so the Mac Mini that I got, you know, 3 or 4 years ago at this point, was a pretty good machine then, but over time, as things have moved on, it got, you know, a little long in the tooth. So like Jason, I, you know, put in a an SSD and had to like soup it up myself so that it could stay current, because certainly Apple was not in the business of making a newer one. But I think Jason put it right when he said that there's a lot of markets for it. It's just that they're all very small markets.
Yeah, I too have upgraded mine. I have an SSD in it. I have more RAM in it than Apple says it'll take. But Jason, you took a different approach recently with your home server.
You're gonna out me. You're gonna get me in trouble. Yeah, I did. I decided. So I was reading. I went to write an article about what the next Mac Mini might be like, and what I decided was that there were some really interesting things in the PC side that were very, very small desktop PCs. So like not necessarily. Like a Raspberry Pi, but like Intel has this reference that they call the next unit of computing, or the NUC, that is
not to be confused with Barnes and Noble's e-reader.
No, not definitely not. Don't do that.
Yeah,
and so what happened is our friend Russell of the Material Podcast, since more Relay Connections, he had bought an Intel NUC and looked up the instructions on the internet to install Mac OS on it. So that he could replace an aging Mac Mini. And I thought, all right, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that. I'm going to buy one of these and configure it and get it to run Mac OS just to see what it was like. And the answer is that I've got a fast, capable Thunderbolt 3 supporting, essentially Mac Mini that cost me in the PC parts, like $700 for something that, for these specs, the current Mac Mini, which keep in mind is not current, it's 3.5 years old, would cost like $1,100 or something. And what that says to me is that maybe if Apple really does have enough time to design a new Mac Mini, maybe that's the future of the Mac Mini. Is an even smaller box, it's SSD only. They can still price it at something with a profit margin that Apple is used to, because if the PC version that I bought is $700 and some, then they could certainly make one for $1,000, right? Sell one for $1,000 or $1,100 like they do the current model, and it would be great. So in the interim, though, I am actually running it as my server. It has replaced my Mac Mini as my server. So I do have a Hackintosh. I don't recommend this to regular people, by the way, because it was a harrowing setup process. And you basically can't run software updates on it without going through all sorts of checks, because you risk, every time you run a software update, you risk blowing away the system if it updates some things that take away the things that you modified in order to get it to boot. Right. So it's not, I'm not saying run out and build a Hackintosh. I'm saying don't do it. But I did it and turned off all the updates, and it does work.
That sounds a lot like my experiences maintaining a Linux server. Don't update it. You might break everything.
You might break it all.
Please,
yep.
Please email Dan with your comments about Linux on the desktop.
This is the year, Stephen. This is the year.
Never the year. Yeah, so I mean, I find it interesting that all three of us have gone down the road of hardware tinkering. Obviously, Jason went way further than the other two of us.
Some might say too far.
But I think that really speaks to that 2014 update, right? So like, the ones that I have, one at home and the one that Relay owns, are, you know, 2011, 2012. They run High Sierra. You can put an SSD in them because they have a regular, you know, 2.5-inch hard drive slot. It's a little tricky to get in there, but you can do it, or you can have it done by, you know, a service provider if you want. And it's still rock solid. I mean, mine runs High Sierra really well. The SSD in mine is like 6 or 7 years old now. Like, I bought it when they were really expensive, and it's still on, you know, just trucking away every day. But that 2014 update definitely took the wind out of the sails a little bit, I think, in the machine, you know, making it less upgradable, making it less powerful. They did make it cheaper, that they didn't managed to hit that $499 price point again, but it felt like it was sort of punishment for those of us who had opened our Mac Minis and tinkered with them. In fact, the bottom of the 2014 still opens like the previous ones. Yeah. You just can't do anything once you're in there, as the RAM is on the board. What do you think went into that decision to make that update what it was?
I mean, I don't think Apple's necessarily being vindictive about it, but it does feel like, for Apple, I think it all comes down to economies, and I assume that their research or their analytics or what have you suggested that most people probably didn't spend a lot of time upgrading their Mac Minis? Like, there are those, all of us did, obviously, and there are definitely other enthusiasts out there, but maybe we're only a small percentage of the overall Mac Mini market. It also speaks to more stuff sharing technology with their laptops, which have also gotten less upgradable over time, and the idea that they don't need to make as many different versions of, you know, motherboards or RAM or whatever. I mean, they can kind of follow the same procedures on these things because they have it down to a science. And at the end of the day, I mean, I think they want to make, their goal seemed to be to make a computer that was cheap and affordable. And in that sense, you know, removing complexity and finding ways to just sort of streamline the whole process probably made a lot of sense from an economic standpoint. It's certainly frustrating to all of us who are, you know, inveterate tinkerers and want to get into those computers. And I do think that's probably, there's probably a bigger portion of us in the Mac Mini market than in the rest of Apple's line, if only from historical reasons, right? Like the iMac, you haven't been able to do much with in a really long time now. As with, you know, Apple's laptops, you can do very limited upgrading and maintenance on them. So the Mac Mini was kind of the last refuge already. But I think, you know, that's the way that Apple's trend line is clearly going, is to computers that don't need to be opened up and upgraded internally. And that's the thing that kind of bit them with the Mac Pro. So I'm kind of curious to see if maybe the Mac Mini has a similar, I wouldn't go so strong to say a mea culpa release coming, but maybe there's a change, sea change afoot there.
Yeah, I think the, you know, Apple set up what they were going to do with the Mac Mini, whatever, 4 years ago, and they said, "All right, this is going to be our next Mac Mini for the next 4 years." And at the time, the chipsets weren't there to do like the quad core, and so, you know, it ended up being an unfortunate step back. But everybody figured that maybe they would just, you know, an update would be around the corner. And I think with a story of a lot of Apple products these days, a minor maybe misstep gets magnified by the fact that they never follow it up, right? That's the thing. It's like a minor annoyance is magnified when you have to live with it for 4 years when you expected that it would be taken care of within a year, maybe, or two.
Yeah, I think so. It feels like something happened there, and you know, they haven't been able to get around to it, or haven't been able to hit that price point. Like you said, I mean, $499 is cheap. Especially for Apple, but I imagine that they want to protect those margins, and you know, maybe there's something coming. So I guess that's kind of where we end this. Do we think, besides Tim Cook's cryptic email replies to customers, does this thing have a future? What do you think that future could realistically hold, and maybe how does that contrast with like our hopes and dreams if they're different?
You know, our hopes and dreams are probably way better. As in, I've learned in general as an adult, my hopes and dreams are usually a lot better than what ends up happening.
Oh, Dan,
yeah.
I need to give you a hug. That's so sad.
Well, reality is always a little bit different, right?
It's true.
I think that I would like to see some movement there. Now, what that could be, I think, could take a variety of different forms. I think everybody's still kind of waiting to see how Apple delivers on this promise of the Mac Pro, which is, you know, as we now know, not coming out until next year. And in that sense, there are things that we, you know, that Apple has promised in the Mac Pro that we would like to see the Mini as well, I think, in terms of stuff that's a certain amount of modularity and upgradability. In the other ways, the Mac Pro and the Mac Mini are at the opposite ends of the market from each other because they're both desktops, but one is a super high power desktop and one is a desktop with, you know, maybe some power, but it's focused on being small, being low power consumption. And, you know, those are the trade-offs that are being made there. So, you know, would Mac Mini enthusiasts be happy if Apple just speed bumped it with a new processor and upped some of the, you know, put an SSD in it, etc.? Maybe. I think we'd all kind of be like, yeah, all right, that's about what we expected. What I certainly prefer is to see an upgrade that returns some of the modularity and perhaps even makes it easier. You know, not to say that the original Mac Mini, when you had to use a putty knife to pry it open, was the high point of being able to open your own Mac.
Right.
But certainly there's aspects of that I would like to see. I think I think it would be super interesting to see it go in the direction that Jason's talking about in terms of the NUC platform that Intel uses, and to see if there's a way you could build an even more powerful computer that's even smaller. And again, you're going to sacrifice some upgradability probably in there, especially the way Apple is going to do it, let's be honest. But I think that the PC side, for once, has shown us that there's progress that can be made and a even more sort of futuristic direction almost that you can take there.
Yeah, what I keep saying is I want to believe, like, I should have a picture. In fact, I did. I made a mock-up of, like, Fox Mulder's poster from The X-Files, except instead of a UFO in the flying in the sky, it's a Mac Mini, because I want to believe that there will be a new Mac Mini, and I want to believe that they will actually do the work, and that the reason we haven't seen one is that the next Mac Mini is not going to use this same enclosure, that they are going to do something that is smaller. Because my theory goes that the only reason you update the Mac Mini if you're Apple is if you can point at it and say, look how cool we are. Because a lot of Apple's products are like that. Like, it's sure. Apple. Only Apple could do it this way. And so if they do something that's more like an Intel NUC, where they've got a snazzy little case for it, like a little metal case or whatever. But in the end, that's what it is. It's an incredibly miniature. The Mac Mini is truly mini. It's the most mini Mac ever. It's the smallest Mac we've ever made. Isn't it incredible?
It's the Mac Nano.
Yeah, right? So they could do that product and still make money at it and still sell a bunch of them. And today, you know, they could do that and it would have USB-C. It could have USB-A and USB-C Thunderbolt 3 on it because the Intel references are there. So I'd like to believe that they will do that at some point in the next year or two. But again, who knows what Apple's doing? There are lots. There's all the whole ARM transition rumor out there. Is Apple putting any investment into this platform at all? But that said, you know, again, I could go out and buy a laptop, but like, I'm never going to use a laptop for certain circumstances, including as a server, right? It's just that's never going to happen. And you should need a laptop. You should be able to get something small and relatively cheap that you can stick somewhere as a Mac familiar person, because that's the key, right? It's like, you want to run Mac software. You want to run the stuff you know on it. And so I want to believe that Apple will continue to offer that as a product in their product line and maybe update it just so that they can say, look, if you need a Mac and that's it, and you know, and nothing else fits, here's a little thing, and you can attach a screen to it, and you can attach pointing devices and a keyboard, and you're good. I would like to believe that.
If they're willing to appeal to the percent of a percent that is the Mac Pro market, I kind of hope that they're willing to appeal to the maybe slightly larger percent of a percent, yeah. Even if it's paying less, that is the Mac Mini market.
Fingers crossed, I guess, right? Like, just... I mean, Jason, I tend to agree with your thoughts on it. Like, it would be great if Apple would continue to serve this market, because I think, while it's not big, it is an important one. Of course, biased, I'm like, I have two of them running as servers for different things. Like, I'm ground zero for this, but
yeah,
I guess we'll see. You know, maybe this year, maybe they'll do a 4-year cycle, not 5 or 6.
Ah, good, the old 4-year upgrade cycle.
Yeah, which will be first, the Mac Pro or new Mac Mini?
Oh,
crickets.
I wouldn't want to put money on any of that. I wouldn't want to put on any. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want any money there.
Yeah, no takers here.
Yeah. Well, cool. I appreciate y'all coming on and talking about this with me. I think it's an interesting topic, even though it's, like you said, it's a computer that doesn't necessarily get a lot of attention from Apple or from its fans. But I think it's one that, at least for those of us who care about it, we really do care. So, Jason, where can people find you?
In addition to many podcasts at Relay FM, you can find me on Twitter at Jay Snell, and you can read stuff that I write and stuff that Dan writes at sixcolors.com. And I have many other podcasts at theincomparable.com.
You can find me on Twitter at DMorin, as Jason said, at sixcolors.com. Plenty of podcasts at theincomparable.com, Clockwise. And, you know, hey, if you're feeling charitable and interested in science fiction space adventures, you can always buy my novel, The Caledonian Gambit, available at fine booksellers everywhere.
It's really good. I read it this summer and enjoyed it greatly.
Thanks, Steven.
So thank you for listening to this episode of Fusion. If you're hearing this episode of Fusion and you're not currently a Relay FM member, it's okay. We still love you, but you should really join, and you can support the shows that Jason and Dan do here on the network. You can learn more at relay.fm/membership. And until next month, adios.